This morning I want to look at a passage in Matthew 26, verse 36. Let's read it and we'll apply it to our life and give us some instruction here this morning. Matthew 26, verse 36. This is Jesus and his disciples, the first church, Jesus and his apostles. And he was leading them into this garden where he would face some heavy stress upon his life and body. Verse 36, it says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, to the garden, and said unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful." Unto who? Unto Peter, James, and John, who went a little further with him than the others. He saith unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." And he went a little further and fell on his face. And another gospel tells us about a stone's cast. So not out of sight, certainly. But he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour?" In verse 41, he says, "Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." I want to talk this morning on the subject of the flesh is weak. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this message this morning that you've given me. I pray that it be a help to each one. I pray, God, that you would empty me of myself and fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord. I pray that each one would be attentive, not necessarily even to my words, but especially to your words. And I pray that if you would allow me to say something that would be a help, and would help clarify, and would help illustrate, then help me to do so, Lord. Speak through me. Give me the words to speak. Give me your power. And God, I know this morning my flesh is weak, and I need your Holy Spirit's power to help. So, Lord, use this in each life as you would want it this morning. We ask that you would have control and do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me start off by saying this. First century Christians had to learn to live in an unnatural way. And so does every follower of Jesus Christ. Does that statement shock you this morning? Maybe not if you know where I'm going. But they had to learn to live in an unnatural way. And that's something we must do. Let me clarify. It is natural for human beings to live in the flesh, or rather, by our sin nature. But when you trust Jesus as your Savior, which I'm sure many of you or all of you have professed your faith in Jesus Christ, when that happens, you have a better option that you must learn to live by. And so we have to live, in essence, in an unnatural way from when we were born. The flesh is that part of us that everyone is born with but should not be led by. Let's consider a simple statement this morning by Jesus to some of his disciples that can help us to know the flesh and to have victory over the flesh. We say often, and I'm sure you've heard it, you could recite it, that the Christian has three enemies, right? What are those three enemies? The world, the flesh, and the devil, right? And those are our enemies, and so if they're enemies, then we ought to know them, because you should know your enemy, and to be able to conquer the enemy. And we have a way we can do that. But I want to, from this simple passage here, if we seeing Jesus in the garden, it's really a complicated passage, really, when you look at what Jesus is doing and how we see his humanity as well as his divinity and the fact of his submission to God the Father, because he's about to face something super heavy. That's really the main focus of the passage, but I want to talk about an aspect of it where he states to his disciples, through all this he's facing, your flesh is weak. Your flesh is weak. If we would admit this morning, we would say the same thing, wouldn't we? My flesh is weak. My flesh is weak. But I want to consider this truth and understand it. The context of the scripture, before we get into it too far, reveals Jesus Christ, God the Son, praying to God the Father about this cup he was about to drink, about the fact that he will bear the sin of the world. In fact, he will become sin for the world. And not only that, but because of that, God the Father will turn his back from his Son. Darkness will be upon the face of the earth for the only time in recorded history. Because he became that which is an enemy of God, sin. And so he's about to face this, and he understands the price and the cost, and yet he's still a man, and he still has this flesh. Yet without sin, but still facing the temptations that a man would face, still facing the struggle and stress upon his flesh, upon his body, upon his mind, that anybody else would face because of what he was going to face. And this was all for us, amen? And so he's there and he's struggling, and it's evident, no doubt, that he's stressing, that he's struggling, because he takes his disciples, he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane, and he leaves some of his disciples, the majority of his disciples, but he takes three with him, the three we would call those that would be in his inner circle, James, Peter, and John. James and John, brothers, and Peter, of course you know Peter. And so he goes with them a little further, perhaps out of earshot from the others, but we know this, he leaves them there and he says, Peter, James, and John, I want you to watch, I want you to pray, I've got to go do something. And he goes off just in the distance a little bit, no doubt being able to see his agony. In fact, he tells them his soul is exceeding sorrowful. He says, even unto death. He says, I'm stressed and sorrowed to the max, even unto death. And so you would have thought the disciples, seeing what Jesus has done with all his miracles and his preaching and teaching and proclaiming and declaring the fact that he is the Son of God, that he is the one, that this would have concerned them, and I'm sure it did, but again, their flesh. And so he goes off and he begins to pray, and we're told in I believe the book of Luke that he's sweating drops of blood because he's under such stress and thought of what's going to happen, yet all the while not sinning, all the while yielding to God, all the while submitting to his heavenly Father and the will of God upon him. And I can imagine his disciples see this going on. They have to see in him the sorrow, the struggle, the stress. And so what do? They fall asleep. They fall asleep. Now, before you jump on the disciples, no doubt it was getting close to bedtime. It was at night. And they've been in busy ministry all day and probably all week. When you're around Jesus, there's never a dull moment. And no doubt physically they were tired and exhausted, perhaps mentally, emotionally, spiritually. But they knew this was important, so they went with Jesus, and that's a good thing. And in fact, they went a little further than the others with Jesus, according to Jesus' will. And they got to experience the struggle within that he was facing. But because Jesus is God and he doesn't sin, he ultimately says, not my will, but thy will be done. And by the way, that's an example for all of us, isn't it? It's not the message this morning, but that's the example for us, is we ought to always say, not my will, but thy will. Even if it's a struggle, even if we don't understand, even if we don't want to take the cup, we ought to be like Jesus and say, not my will, but thy will be done. So in this picture, we see Jesus as a man struggling. If I can say, in his flesh, dealing with what's going to happen as a man. And so this is where we're at. Jesus goes back to his disciples, three disciples, and he finds them sleeping. And so while he's dealing with that, he goes back, and it seems they're really unconcerned. So he goes back, he finds them sleeping, and he addresses Peter for them all, because Peter is often the most outspoken. And so he addresses Peter and said, what, you guys couldn't, put it in my own words, you guys couldn't watch with me for just a short time, for just 1 hour? He gives them a gentle rebuke for their sleep, their complacency, I would say. Then in verse 41, he says to them, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I want to focus on that verse this morning, specifically at the end of it where it says the flesh is weak. It's also the title of the message today. In the Old Testament, the word flesh is often used to refer to our earthly bodies, our skin, our muscle, our bones, what we're made of. In the New Testament, that is the meaning in some cases, but it also refers, as we read in the New Testament especially, to our human nature, to our direction without God, to our sinful tendencies and lusts that come naturally, which is why I said in the beginning we need to learn to live unnaturally. It comes naturally because that's our nature, that's our sinful condition at birth because of Adam and Eve. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so because of that sin, the beginning of time, it's passed upon all of us. And I think most of us understand that and know that. But that's really that those lusts, those sinful tendencies, that direction without God, our own will, our human nature, that's the flesh we're talking about this morning. Here in this passage, we really have both ideas at play. The disciples were no doubt physically tired from a day of hectic ministry. So they were tired in their flesh, no doubt. But it also seems they exhibited a lack of concern for Jesus, a zeal for his mission in obedience to his word. So how can I make that assumption about them? Because I know this, even when I'm dead tired, even when I know I could sleep and I could probably sleep for 10 hours, 12 hours, however long, because I'm so tired, if I'm concerned about something, I won't sleep. And you're the same way, aren't you? Right? And you know that to be true. If it's something we're serious, listen, and this was something for them to be seriously concerned about, that their master, the one who's going to take back the kingdom, the one who is going to lead Israel, the one who is going to be the savior of the world, the one prophesied about, the one who did all these miracles and wowed everybody, the one who preached things with authority that no one else, when they saw that he said, I'm sorrowful even unto death, that should cause some concern in them, shouldn't it? They shouldn't be complacent and just fall asleep. And I know we can be the same way sometimes. I'm not picking on them. I'm just saying, yes, in their flesh they were tired. But there's a time to sleep and there's a time to wake up and stay awake. They dozed off. The Bible tells us many times to wake out of your slumber, to arise and essentially stop sleeping. It's time to get up and do something. And in this case, the disciples, they were instructed too. If Jesus didn't believe they could watch for 1 hour, I don't think he would tell them to watch for 1 hour. And so we see really both ideas at play. One, physically tired, no doubt doing a lot of work throughout the day, walking many miles, ministering to people, which certainly can be a drain on them, and trying to follow Jesus and keep up with what he's saying and mentally trying to think about all these things he's saying that they don't really fully understand. All this going on, so physically tired in their flesh, but also their flesh as their human nature and sinful tendencies and their lack of concern and zeal, I believe was seen as well. So the flesh in all its fullness was displayed here. And we want to consider the fact of Jesus' words when he says, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I think we need to understand that. So first of all, the weakness of the flesh. Verse 40, Jesus says, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? He addresses their fleshly nature that they couldn't even stay up and watch for 1 hour. In other words, the disciples had a problem in their flesh common to every person ever born. I believe the Bible calls it sin. You see, sin mars our flesh and opposes the God who made us. Now again, I don't think they were rebellious to Jesus and say, he wants us to watch, I'm going to sleep instead. No, I don't think that was the case. But I think the case was in their hearts. They were thinking, man, this isn't so bad. And I'm just speculating. A little. Let's just get a little sleep. Jesus is over there, he's fine. And no, he said to watch. They didn't follow what he was saying. And so what's the reason for a weak flesh is sin? Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the reason our flesh takes over. That's the reason why you have a problem every morning with your flesh, warring against your spirit. That's the reason why we tend to do what we want to do rather than what God wants to do. That's the reason we tend to give into appetites of the flesh and lusts that are ungodly. That's why we have start on addictions and things that grab a hold of our flesh because our flesh wants it. Why? Because of sin. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no one in here that doesn't have a problem with their flesh. If you do, talk with me after. I want to know your secrets. We all have a problem. with our flesh. Why? Because of sin. Romans 5:12, I read this already, but it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death has passed upon some men." No, it says all men, for that all have sinned. See, the reason for the disciples' weak flesh, as well as ours, is the sin nature we're born with. Sinning is natural in the flesh. Again, why I said the first century Christians had to learn how to live unnatural lives, and we need to as well. Probably should have titled the message, "An Unnatural Life." That would have made more sense. The result of a weak flesh. See, I critique my messages too. See, you're not the only one. Right? I'm just kidding. I don't know. That's my flesh coming through. Hold on. Let me the result of the flesh. John 6:63. That doesn't make sense. That'd be 66:3. John 6:63 says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth; the flesh profiteth little." You think that's what that verse says? The flesh profiteth nothing. Think about that. You see, isn't there good things you can do in your flesh? Well, there is to some degree, but then you have to examine the motive and what's accomplished, and if it's accomplished for God's glory or not, and you quickly begin to see that when we do that which we want in our own flesh, it profits nothing. Galatians 5:19 says, "This is what's produced out of the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, clear, which are these: adultery," what's that, a work of the flesh? "Fornication," work of the flesh. "Uncleanness," flesh. "Lasciviousness," flesh. "Idolatry," witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Why? Because it's sin. It's a natural outworking of our flesh that leads to death and hell. But for the grace of Jesus Christ, saving us from that. And so you say, why does the flesh profit nothing? Because the works of the flesh are all these things, this sin. And if we would just live by the flesh, then we would see more and more of these works of the flesh produced. Why are these things produced in people's lives? It's because they're living according to the flesh. It seems simple, but I know it's complicated because it's tough dealing with our flesh because it's natural. The disciples could be unconcerned for Jesus' condition, present or future, as well as disobedience to Christ's instruction to stay awake and watch. Why? Because they had a weak, sinful flesh that fights against what's right and true. Right? You just ask to say, "Don't fall asleep," and they'll fall asleep. Or fall asleep, and they won't fall asleep. Right? We have that tendency as people. Someone tells you to do something, you're going to do the opposite. Why? Because that's sometimes our rebellious flesh, our sinful flesh. Well, today we have that same sinful flesh that needs to be dealt with. First, with salvation through Jesus Christ, and forgiveness through the perfect Son of God. The Bible says, yes, for all have sinned, but it says, but the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so we know that the only way to combat sin is through Jesus and faith in Christ as our Savior. He gives us forgiveness of sin and grace to press forward. So we have the flesh. I think we understand the flesh because we live with it every day. I think we understand when we look in the mirror that we do things we don't want to do. And that leads us to the second point, is the fight of the flesh. We not only have the weakness of the flesh, and our flesh is weak because of our sin nature, because of sin, but we have the fight of the flesh. Notice what he says in verse 41. Jesus says to them, "Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation." He said, don't go into temptation. Don't find that which is evil. Don't head in that direction. Don't put yourself in the way. Then he says this, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." In other words, their spirit as men, especially with Christ and his spirit within, is willing to do that which is right, wants to do that which is good, desires to please God, desires to stay awake, desires to watch and pray, but the flesh is weak. And so we see here what? The fight of the flesh. We see the weakness of the flesh because we're sinners. We're born that way. That's natural to us. But we see the fight of the flesh when we're saved and the Spirit of God lives within us. Now there's a problem. Now someone else moves in that doesn't want to follow the flesh, wants to follow God. That's God's Spirit. And so As soon as you have someone move in with someone that's used to having control, there's a problem, isn't there? And so the flesh says, I'm in control. I've been in control for so long. This is natural. This is it. This is what we do. And the Spirit of God is drawing and convicting and wanting us to yield to God and His Word. And so there's a fight on your hands within. In this verse, we see Jesus acknowledges that the disciples most likely had a willing heart and mind to do what Christ said, but their sinful flesh hindered them. And isn't that still the case today with followers of Christ? We have the Spirit of God within prodding us and guiding us through the Bible to obey God, to fulfill God's plan for our lives. And we want to, we desire to, but there's an opposing force called the flesh. By the way, you won't lose that until you get to heaven. It'll be a constant fight, not to discourage, but to encourage you, because God gives an answer. Is that there's going to be a fight till we get to heaven, so we might as well learn to yield to the Spirit of God, feed the Spirit, starve the flesh, and our life will be much more pleasing to God, and we'll be able to accomplish His will much greater if we do so. You just have to determine what's the flesh and what's the Spirit. I think that's, as a Christian, with Christ in you, I think you can figure that out pretty easily. What's of God and what's of me? I think the Bible spells that out pretty clearly. What's of the flesh? We read some works of the flesh. That's not all the works of the flesh, because it says, and the such like, there's other works of the flesh. But we need to get used to submitting to the Spirit. Galatians 5:17 says this about it. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit, and it's talking about the Spirit of God there, but His Spirit's within us. And so it's within us this battle. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, opposite, opposing the one to the other. So that you cannot do the things that ye would. See, that indicates there's a willing spirit. But your flesh won't let you. Or you won't allow the Spirit to have control in that matter. So there's that fight of the flesh, that battle. Turn to Romans chapter 7 real quick, if you would. You can hold your place in Matthew 26. Romans chapter 7. You say, am I the only one with this problem? We've already established. No, you're not. All of us this morning here have that problem. We won't necessarily voice it. We wouldn't necessarily tell you the specifics, but I have a problem with my flesh, just like you have a problem with your flesh. Someone said that the person I have the biggest problem with, I look at in the mirror every morning. And that's true for all of us, if we're honest with ourselves. You say, what about the early Christians? What about first century church Christians? I'm sure they didn't have this issue. No, that's why it was written about. That's why Paul preached about it. In fact, Paul even says himself he has an issue with it. He said, I can't imagine that. In Romans chapter 7, verse 15, we'll start in verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. He recognized his fleshly condition. Now, Paul, no doubt he was a righteous person. And he talks about his righteousness and following the law and all that. But he understood the heart of the matter is he was a sinner. For we know that the law is carnal. The law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin, verse 15, Romans 7. For that which I do, I allow not. For that, now stick with me, it gets confusing when I'm reading it, so apologize. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Are you following? Flesh lusting against the Spirit, what I want to do, what I believe is right to do, it seems I don't end up doing it the way I ought to. And that which I think is wrong, that seems to be what I end up doing. He goes on, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He understood in his flesh, his natural condition is of a sinner. And it says in verse 18, for then I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. To will is present with me. The Spirit indeed is willing, Jesus says. To will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not, but the flesh is weak. I want it, my spirit's willing, I want to, But I find in my flesh I'm weak, and I can't find to do what I really should be doing. For the good, verse 19, that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do within me, but sin that dwelleth in me. But sin that dwelleth in me. What he's saying, it's my flesh, it's my sin nature. He's not using that as an excuse. He's just saying, this is the truth. It's my flesh. I then find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Isn't that the truth? But you find whenever you try to do that which is right and good, you find evil's with you. Whenever you try to do that which is pleasing to God and righteous and according to his word, you find there's always attacks when that happens. I find whenever someone decides I'm going to follow God and not follow my flesh and obey God or do his will or fulfill that calling on my life or serve in that ministry or be more fervent in my Bible reading, guess what you find? Evil is present with you. You find there's always opposition. There's always an attack coming down the road to get you off course. And yes, it's outside a lot, but often it even comes from within, from the flesh. The devil will use that, of course, and exploit that. But we've got to understand that not only is the flesh weak because of sin, but because of that and the Spirit of God moving in, there's a fight on your hands with the flesh. So we have the fight of the flesh, and the frustration of the flesh is that even as a Christian, a blood-bought, forgiven child of God and follower of Jesus Christ, we have a battle we face every day because of the flesh. And it's extremely frustrating. Here's the thing about first century Christians. They had the same kind of flesh. So you say, yeah, but they had this going on. They had that going on. And they didn't have the same kind of temptations we have. They still had temptations. They still had sin. As you're learning in Sunday school and the adult class, they still had great suffering. Different conditions, different examples perhaps, different types of temptations. But they had the same flesh they had to deal with every day. The devil may have used different tactics on them, but they still had the same flesh that opposed them every day when they woke up. And they had to learn to battle it just like we do. I'm sure Peter, James, and John were afterwards kicking themselves, or maybe each other, I don't know, after they fell asleep and Jesus had to wake them up. But we find he went a couple times and they were still sleeping. They just couldn't conquer the flesh. They just couldn't battle what they were facing. And I no doubt, knowing their heart for the Lord and the fact that they sacrificed themselves for the cause of Christ, we knew their heart was right, no doubt, in a lot of places. We knew that their spirit was willing and they had the desire, but they still had the frustration and the fight of the flesh to deal with. The flesh is weak, even when we want to do right, isn't it? So we have the weakness of the flesh, sin. We have the fight of the flesh, just a constant battle every day. Listen, don't give up the battle. Don't say, hey, it's too hard. Too many people give up the battle and say, no, it's too hard, so I'm just going to give up and let my flesh have control. That's a bad thing to do. In your flesh is no good thing. Your flesh, in your flesh, by your flesh, it shall profit nothing. The flesh will only bring the works of the flesh, which is sin. It's never good just to give up and say, I'll let my flesh take over. You will lose in that proposition. Keep fighting. Keep saying, I'm going to let the Spirit of God lead me. I'm going to submit to the Spirit and yield to the Spirit more than the flesh. When you keep saying yes to the flesh, your flesh grows stronger. So maybe at some point we need to start saying no to our flesh, right? Start disciplining ourselves. Start restraining ourselves from things our flesh wants to do. That's an important part of fasting, I believe. When you fast and pray, is you're saying no to the flesh for something that you physically hunger for. And it does well to say no to the flesh in some areas of your life and not let your flesh have reign or control in your life, but say yes to the Spirit, even if it's uncomfortable. The Spirit of God says this, the Word of God says that, do it. Yield yourselves. You'll find the more you say yes to God and the Spirit and His Word, the stronger you become, not only in faith, but over the flesh. Lastly, we see this, the plan for the flesh. The plan for the flesh. Verse 41, again, of Matthew 26. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Here Jesus gives them a plan to stay awake and defeat the flesh. Watch and pray. There's great advice here, along with some other pieces of instruction in the Bible that we want to look at the end of the message here tonight, this morning. Not tonight. Let's look at the plan. Number one, watch. Be alert. Don't allow anything to steal your sobriety or your alertness. Stay focused on what's important. And he was telling them, hey, listen, I know you're tired. I know there's other things going on. I know you just had a long week. But listen, at this very moment, it's important that you stay awake, that you stay alert, that you watch. Of course, he knew, being God, soon will come Judas with his band to take Jesus away. And they didn't understand it yet, but they needed to watch. And you don't always understand things, Christian, that God's going to do, but he wants you to watch. He wants you to be awake. He wants you to be alert. He wants you to rise from any slumber, any sin that you're just pushing aside and not awake to, any fleshly motives or goals that you're not awake to, anything God wants you to do that you haven't been awake to, any of his word that you've been sleeping on and not waking up to. Listen, watch. Watch. 1 Corinthians 16, 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. So he says, hey, listen, let me help you out, guys. Watch and pray. Watching and praying goes together. You could watch all day long, but if you're not seeking God at the same time, then you need to add that to it. Watch and pray. Pray is seeking God regularly. Ask for his help. Worship him in private. Let him lead you in everything. Gain his strength in communion with him. Pray, watch, and pray. And when you combine those two, where you're watching, where you're alert to God's will and God's word, where you're alert to God's instructions, and at the same time you're praying and seeking his strength and his wisdom and grace and direction, that's a great plan to avoid temptation or to overcome temptation or to overcome the flesh and have victory. Luke 18:1 says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Why do you faint? Because our flesh is weak. If we're doing something physical, we can tend to faint. Why? Because our flesh gets weak. We're doing something spiritual, and we tend to get faint and weary. Why? Because our flesh, our human nature, tends to get weak. Our spirit tends to get down. And so what should we do? Watch and pray. Seek God. Gain strength from him. Galatians also gives us another thing we can do is to walk in the Spirit. So we watch, we pray, and we walk in the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:16 says this, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So you say, how do I have victory over the flesh? Jesus says, watch and pray. Along with that, the Bible tells us further in the New Testament to walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because you can't walk in the Spirit and walk in the flesh at the same time. So you say, I don't want to fulfill that lust of the flesh. I don't want to follow the flesh. Yield yourself to the Spirit. Submit to God. And then we are to war, battle, war. How? Appropriately. What does the Bible say about that? 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You say, well, I'm just going to conquer the flesh with the flesh. That won't work. The only way to conquer the flesh is with the Spirit. Though we war after the flesh, we do not. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You see, it's spiritual to overcome the physical. And then also weaken the flesh. So how do I weaken the flesh? Well, we talked about submitting to the Spirit of God. That's part of it. Romans 13:14 says this. This is probably one of the areas we make a big mistake with. One of the areas we don't pay attention to as we should. You want to hear what the verse is? But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Sometimes we're so foolish. We say, I'm not going to do anything wrong, but we put ourselves in a situation to do something wrong. What are we doing? We're making provision for the flesh. What does provision mean? To provide for. If you provide for the flesh, your flesh will conquer eventually. You say, no, I'm stronger than that. A lot of people who have fallen have said, I'm stronger than that. A lot of people who said, no, I can handle it, have fallen because they can't. Take heed lest you fall. We think we can take it sometimes. Listen, do you realize how powerful your flesh is? Do you understand that's your natural way of doing things? That's your default position in your life, is to just submit to the flesh and what feels right and what seems good and what you want to do. It takes yielding to God's Spirit and submitting yourself to Christ in your life for His Spirit to have control. And if you just provide provision, if you just make provision and provide opportunity to fall, you will fall, mark my words. Let's be smart about it. Let's be wise about it. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Jesus says, watch and pray. Listen, Jesus didn't give him a pillow and some blankets and say, hey, watch and pray with me, will you? He didn't make it comfortable for him. He didn't make provision for their flesh. He took them outside, and out in the fresh air. They could visibly see him suffering and sorrowing and stressing. And so he said, no, watch and pray. And walk in the Spirit, the Bible tells us. He said, hey, your spirit's willing, but your flesh is weak. So make sure you yield yourself to that which is right and true, the Spirit of God. And war appropriately. Don't try to fight flesh with flesh. Go to God. Use spiritual weapons. And then weaken the flesh. Don't make provision for it. Starve it out if you have to. In conclusion, the Bible says this in Romans 8:8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Listen, today, if you don't have Jesus as your Savior, you really have no other way to combat and overcome the sinful flesh with all its destructive patterns and consequences. I know there's things you can do to reform yourself and to overcome certain things in your life, and the world has its options, has its solutions, but the only surefire, permanent solution is Christ in your life, is the Spirit of God leading you. Because now you've moved someone in that if you yield to will overcome the flesh and will help you to walk in a way that's pleasing to God. We all have the problem, as we said. We all need help with it. So why don't we do something about it and ask the Lord to help us? If you're making provision for the flesh, well, you need to stop that. You need to pray about that today and say, God, help me not to make provision for it because I'm not strong enough. If you think you're strong enough, Lord, help me to recognize I can only do it with your power. Those that have received Christ for the forgiveness of sin, you can only please God as you live by the Spirit and by faith and trust God with it. Stand if you would.